As I just was saying, I thought I'd follow up a little bit on the Wanderer Upaka that was brought up in the questions yesterday. Some of you might have seen this book. This was published this year. It's called The Enlightened Nuns from the Time of the Buddha by a Sri Lankan nun called Panadure Vajira Silamata. This was edited by Ajahn Chandasiri and myself over a long period of time. Finally came into print this year. There was a Thai woman, Kusuma Daly. She didn't realize that there were any enlightened nuns ever. And she came across this book by this Sri Lankan elder, and she was extremely inspired and very moved. And so when Kusuma Daly passed away, she asked for 10,000 copies of it in English and 10,000 copies of it in Thai to be printed by us. So we took a sharp intake of breath. It's a lot of books, and there wasn't a Thai version of it. Anyway, cut a long story short, we reprinted a Thai version of the stories of the enlightened nuns from the time of the Buddha, but the English version that she had put together and published in Sri Lanka, then Ajahn Chandasiri and I put this together and designed and with graphics put together by Nick Halliday, the inimitable typographer and book designer, and so he borrowed many of the murals from Wat Po in Bangkok. It's got a large series of murals depicting the enlightened nuns from the Buddha's time in Wat Po, one of the major monasteries in Bangkok. So he took those images from the public domain and recreated this edition together this year. And so yesterday, Anagarika Atsuko was quoting from the life of Sister Chapa. She is one of the enlightened nuns from the time of the Buddha that is included in this collection. With respect to the story of Upaka, the wanderer that the Buddha met along the road and who was not impressed by the Buddha's declaration of his accomplishment and shook his head and said, well, good for you, friend, when the Buddha said that he was the only enlightened being in the world. And Upaka said, so it sounds like from what you're saying that you are supreme victor. You conquered the universe. And he said, that's correct. I am one who has conquered the world. So the word for a conqueror is Jina, J-I-N-A, Jina. And the Buddha, having come from a military background, I said, well, that's quite appropriate. And at that time, the wanderer Upaka was taken aback by this kind of declaration of supreme enlightenment and said, well, good for you, friend, and went off by a different path. So the story of Chapa in this book, it doesn't actually mention Upaka's background. So as Anagarika Atsuko was referring to, this wanderer Upaka shows up in a village. And these are tribal people who live by hunting. And Upaka was a wanderer. He showed up in the village. I'm trying to put things together from following things up yesterday. I realized, oh, this was the most recent version of the story that I read. And it doesn't mention that this Upaka is the same as the Upaka that met the Buddha on the road. So I think that's why I was confused. Anyway, in this this book, he has an extensive story of how he goes to the village as a wandering yogi and first of all is brought food by the men of the village. And then they all go off into the forest to go hunting. And then the head of the tribe asks his daughter to then provide food for the ascetic while the men are off hunting in the forest. Upaka then meets the daughter, Chapa, and falls madly in love with her. Even though he's supposed to be a wandering ascetic and a brahmacharian, he can't get over this feeling of attraction towards Chapa. And eventually, when the others come back, after refusing food for a couple of weeks, he decides he can't possibly live without her. And eventually, she agrees, her dad agrees, the family all go along with it, and they become a couple. But he's still hanging on to his yogic disciplines, and so he won't go hunting with them, but he agreed to sell the animals that they caught and killed. Then when he and Chapa have a child, then Chapa sings lullabies to the child saying, you know, your dad is totally useless, he can't catch anything, and he's says, oh, baby of the no-work man, sleep. Your father cannot do any work, he cannot hunt, he cannot fetch water, he carries meat that the others have hunted. Kind of a strange lullaby for a baby, but, you know, these are somewhat strange stories. But anyway, the longer version is here in this book, so copies are around. I highly recommend, obviously, because I was involved. It's very sort of mythologically based on the stories of the Terikatha from the verses of the enlightened nuns, and then also stories from the Dhammapada commentary, that was the collection of stories called the Apadana, many other sources. The other book I want to introduce you to, this is one of the volumes of Professor Malala Sekera's Pali Dictionary of Proper Names, which doesn't sound very exciting. I agree, Pali Dictionary of Proper Names, but every name that is used in the Pali canon for a person or for a place is included in this. Malala Sekera was actually a diplomat. He wasn't early an academic, but his sort of hobby was going through the entire Pali canon and its commentaries, collecting every name and then putting together the stories and cross-references between the stories of literally everybody, everything, every place in the whole Pali canon. So it's an amazing resource. It's one of those books, it's a bit dangerous to open up because you go, ooh, that's interesting. And then you catch the cross-references and you follow those, and an hour and a half later, I think, what was I supposed to be doing today? But anyway, so the story of Upaka is included in here in a bit more detail. It's shorter, but it gives more of the detail of Upaka, the Ajivaka, the wanderer that met the Buddha. So this is the entry on Upaka, just for everyone's interest. Upaka, an Ajivaka, whom the Buddha met on his way between Gaya and the Bodhi tree, after he set out from Isipatana for the preaching of the first sermon. Upaka questioned the Buddha on his attainments, and when the Buddha told him what he had accomplished, he asked the Buddha if he were Anantajina, so like all-victorious, or victorious over everything. Or universal victor. Ananta means limitless or universal or measureless. Anantajina, and Jina is a conqueror. If he was a universal victor. When the Buddha acknowledged this, Upaka shook his head saying, "It may be so, friend," and went along by another road. As I mentioned, yeah, I think we've all met a few people on the road like that, here and there. It's very luminous, but we think, not quite sure where they're coming from. So be careful, because you might be walking out on a Buddha or an actually enlightened being. So it is said that the Buddha walked all the way from the Bodhi tree to Isipatana instead of flying through the air, as is the custom of the Buddhas, because he wished to meet Upaka. I think that's a bit of a... Personally, I take that as a bit of a stretch of the imagination. But some commentarial literature say that, you know, Buddhas would normally fly. But he was walking, so he would meet Upaka on the road. Anyway, after this meeting, Upaka went to the Vankahara country. And there, having fallen desperately in love with Chapa, the daughter of a huntsman who looked after him, starved himself for 7 days, and in the end persuaded the huntsman to give Chapa to him in marriage. For a living, Upaka hawked about the flesh brought by the huntsman. That means he sold the flesh of the animals caught by the huntsman. In due course, Chapa bore him a son, Subhadda. When the baby cried, Chapa sang to him, saying, "Upaka's son, ascetic son, game dealer's boy, don't cry," thus mocking her husband. In exasperation, he told her of his friend, Anantajina. But she didn't stop teasing him, like, "I've got a really powerful friend, you know, you shouldn't be so bad to me." Again, a bit of a strange association to make with having a domestic dispute. Yeah, but I've got a friend who might be an enlightened monk. But anyway, again, these stories a little bit tangential sometimes. But she didn't stop teasing him. One day, in spite of her attempts to keep him, he left her and went to the Buddha at Sarvati. The Buddha, seeing him coming, gave orders that anyone asking for Anantajina should be brought to him. Having learnt from Upaka his story, the Buddha had him admitted to the order, so he was ordained as a bhikkhu. As a result of his meditation, Upaka became an anagami and was reborn in the Aviha Brahma world. In the Sanyutta Nikaya, it records a visit paid to the Buddha by Upaka and 6 other beings born in the Aviha Brahma world. According to the Majjhima commentary, Upaka became an arahant as soon as he was born in the Aviha. In the Terikatha, the verses of the enlightened nuns, he is also called Kala, and his birthplace is given as Nala, a village near the Bodhi tree, where he is said to have been living with his wife at the time that he left her. Later, Chapa too left the world and became an arahant Teri. And the Divyavadana, another collection of stories, calls Upaka Upagana. It's the story of Upaka, and that is a canonical reference of him appearing as a deva, as a Brahma god, that a group of 7 of them appear to the Buddha. It's in the Deva Sanyutta, the first chapter of the Samyutta Nikaya and Upaka and others who have been reborn in the Aviha Brahma world. So again, as a bit of an aside, if the level of anagami, of non-returner, has been realized in the human world, at the death of the body, then anagamis are reborn in one of five realms called the Suddhavasa, which is probably the basis of Pure Land Buddhism, the pure abode. Suddha means pure, avasa means a domain. Like the word for a monastery in Thai is wat, which comes from avasa, the same word. So Suddhavasa is the pure abodes, and there's different kinds of anagami of different grades. The most acutely developed or fully developed anagamis, or those closest to enlightenment, they are what they call enlightened in the interval. So after their life as a human being has come to an end, and before they reappear in the Brahma world, they become arahants. They realize arahantship on the way. It's called enlightened in the interval. And then others realize enlightenment as soon as they manifest. They're not born, they just pop into being. Spontaneously arisen, and others spend a long time as anagamis in those five Brahma worlds and then realize arahantship while they're there. So it's said in the long, long career of the Buddha as a bodhisattva that the five Suddhavasa, those five high Brahma worlds, are the only worlds that he didn't appear in, because if you're born into those realms, then enlightenment is guaranteed, so that arahantship would be realized in that realm. And so then if arahantship is realized there, then you wouldn't be able to appear as a Buddha later on. It was part of the sort of cosmology, at least of the southern Buddhist world. So that's the only five realms that the Bodhisattva never appeared in during his long, long journey.